Anytime we lift him up, he's there. He comes in. Amen. Well, I think after last Sunday, we're on to something. So I ended with the question of what words should you be speaking about yourself, especially from a heart that has been recreated in righteousness? Well, the answer to that is, of course, words of affirmation, words of faith, and importantly, what God is saying to us. And what his word says, not what the enemy is saying. Can you say amen to that? So I want to continue in this vein again today. And I want us to look right at the beginning here at a particular scripture. And this comes from Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and that was talking about Adam, much more they which receive, look at this, abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. All right. This morning we want to camp out for just a little bit on this subject. Of the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. In my now some 30 plus years of ministry, I found that this particular subject is probably one of the most misunderstood in the life of a believer. Because somewhere along the way, someone has taught, or I'm going to say even preached in error, that being right with God was something you had to earn. That if you prayed long enough, if you gave generously enough, if you repented hard enough and lived holy enough, you might become righteous. That may be just maybe, that maybe just maybe you'd finally be good enough for God to accept you. But what if I tell you that's not how righteousness works at all? What if the way you've been, that you've believed about righteousness is what's actually holding you back from the freedom and the peace and the authority that you're supposed to walk in every day? What if I tell you that righteousness has nothing to do with your performance and everything to do with your position in Christ Jesus? I want us to understand this morning that righteousness truly is a gift from God. And I want us to see it as our legal position in Christ and as the very foundation for everything that God wants to do through you and me as born again children of God. Let's start with a lie, first of all. The lie says that righteousness is something you achieve. That you're not righteous just yet. But if you work hard enough, fix all your flaws, stop sinning, clean up your past, and walk perfectly, maybe you'll get there. All I can say to that is no. Do not believe that for one moment. Because it's this kind of thinking that turns the Christian life into a never-ending cycle of performance. You're always trying to measure up, always wondering, well, have I done enough? Always second-guessing our relationship with God. And here's what happens when you mess up, and yes, we all do. You don't just feel bad about the mistake, you feel like your entire standing with God has been ruined in a bad choice moment. So you repent again, you rededicate your life again, you try harder again, and it creates then a cycle of guilt and striving and burnout and even spiritual insecurity. Are you with me so far? You start to treat righteousness like a paycheck, something that you earn by doing good things. But that mindset completely misses what Jesus actually did on the cross for you and me. Because here is the truth. Righteousness isn't something you work for. It's something that you receive. Again, from our scripture text, let's look at it again, Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. And that's not just for heaven. That's for us right here, right now, today. Now, did you catch it? The gift of righteousness. Not the reward of righteousness. Not the promotion to righteousness after you pass enough of the spiritual test. A gift completely free. Undeserved and permanent. Here it is. Here it is. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of Almighty God without the sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. Now think about that for a moment. No shame, no fear, and no self-doubt. We can stand before a holy God and feel completely loved. We can feel completely accepted and, yes, clean before Him. Not because of anything you or I did, but because of everything Jesus did for us at Calvary. We find Paul writing these words found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For He, talking about God, for He made Him, which is Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin. To be sin for us, that we might become, look at this, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This verse right here is a game changer. It says Jesus became sin. Not just took your sin, but became it so that you could become righteous. Not just forgiven, not just improved. You became righteous the moment you were born again. Notice something important here now. It does not say you will become righteous. What is it saying? It's saying you're righteous right now. Not when you clean up your act. Not when you've matured spiritually. Not when you finally stop struggling with that issue. Hear me on this now. Righteousness isn't a goal that you chase. It's an identity that you receive. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So why then do so many believers miss this particular truth? It's because religion teaches people to focus on what they do, while the true gospel teaches us to focus on what Jesus has done already. The religious mindset says, if I live holy, God will bless me. The gospel says, because I'm in Christ, I am blessed, and now I can live holy. One puts the work on you, and the other points to Him. And you have to know, it's this misunderstanding that has been the root and sadly continues to be the root cause of so much spiritual failure in the church. People love Jesus, but they live with a constant sense of unworthiness. They pray timid prayers. They avoid God's presence. They avoid communion or take it in fear of damnation. And they live then with a subconscious belief that they're not good enough or they're not worthy enough. But here's the good news. This is another Good News Sunday. You don't have to live like that anymore. When you understand righteousness, everything shifts. You no longer pray like a beggar. You pray as a son and as a daughter. You're not trying to twist God's arm to get him to move. You realize he's already moved through Jesus Christ. You're not trying to convince God to even forgive you. You realize that you've already been cleansed. You're not trying to be accepted. You know you are accepted fully and permanently in Christ Jesus. Righteousness then gives you boldness. It gives you peace. It gives you authority. You can live in authority, walk in authority, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. You stop tolerating sickness and fear and guilt in your life. You stop thinking small. You start living like a person who's in right standing with God, because that's exactly what you are. We are right, as His children, we are in right standing with Him. Now, you might be asking, well, but Pastor, you don't understand. I still sin sometimes. I mess up really bad sometimes. Well, doesn't that mean I'm not really righteous? The answer is no. You are not righteous because of your behavior. You are righteous because of your birth, meaning your new birth in Christ Jesus. Now, just like a baby lion is still a lion, even if it stumbles and it trips, a new believer is still righteous even if they're still growing. Your identity is based then on what you are, not how mature you are. Now, does this mean that sin doesn't matter? Of course not. And I want us to understand this very clearly. Sin is serious. Here's what it does. It damages relationships. It hurts your soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it gives the enemy a foothold into your life to steal from you, destroy everything that you have, and eventually kill you and capture your soul for an eternity if the sin is not dealt with. That's how serious sin is. But sin doesn't cancel your righteousness. When you mess up, what do you do? You deal with it. Right then, you don't continue on down that road of sin. You're to confess it with your mouth to the Lord, not to get resaved, but to restore fellowship with Him and to clear your heart before Him. That's what we do. But your standing with God doesn't change. You are still righteous. And the more that you understand that, the more you'll naturally grow in holiness, not out of fear, but out of freedom. Can we walk away from that, from under His umbrella? Absolutely we can. It's our choice. So how do you and I walk in this every day? Well, if you have a pencil or pen, write this down real quick. It's real deep. I don't want you to forget it. The first one is renew your mind. Romans 12 and 2. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Well, how is that done? You start replacing old religious thoughts with truth. You get in the Word. You meditate on certain scriptures, verses. Let me give you three of them just to have. Romans 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Here's another one. Ephesians 1 and 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. All right, and then again, here's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now what we do, let's don't just pick those three verses out. Read the whole chapter. That way you see the whole thing. And allow then the Word to begin to wash away all of those lies. So first, renew your mind. Then second, start confessing your righteousness out loud. Understand that our faith works through our confession. Your words shape your reality. Here we go now. Say things like this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven and loved. And I have boldness to enter the presence of God. Guess what? You can put those things, put those words, those phrases on your phone, on your computer when you open it up. That's what's right there. Put it on the mirror when you get up in the morning. Look in the first thing you're looking at. At your pretty face, and then you can see those scriptures right there. I am beloved. I am accepted. Oh, thank God. And your hair is all of this way, if you have hair, you know, like that. So. Hallelujah. Listen, when you say it, what's going to happen? Your spirit will agree, and your mind will follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First, renew your mind. Second, start confessing your righteousness out loud. Here's number three. Stop comparing yourself to other believers. Your individual righteousness isn't measured by someone else's behavior. It's based on Jesus Christ. And guess what? He's perfect. He's perfect. Number four, walk with God boldly. Walk with God boldly. You don't have to tiptoe around Him like a stranger. You come to Him like a child coming home, because that's what we are. Listen, this revelation will change how you see yourself. You're not a sinner trying to be holy. You're a saint learning to walk in who you already are. Amen. You're not trying to become something. You are already somebody. And that changes everything about us. Meaning the sin problem has been settled. And the only problem now is righteousness. Believers must know they have it. You already have what you're looking for. You've been given right standing with God. When you surrendered your life to Jesus and He came in to reside in you. Now it's time just to believe that, confess it, and live from that moment on. Walk in it. Don't let the enemy lie to you another day about who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at the question of why it is so many Christians still feel unworthy. Remember, you don't have to fight for righteousness another day. You already have it now. So just walk in it and reign in life through Jesus Christ today. Occupy till He comes. It doesn't matter if you've been serving God now for 50 years. If you're a Christian and still feel unworthy, ashamed, or distant from God, guess what? You're not alone. Sadly, many believers, even after years of going to church, still secretly wrestle with guilt and condemnation and the nagging sense that they're never quite good enough for God. Isn't that sad that people still have to deal with that? Well, they read their Bibles, they serve in some kind of form of ministry in their local church, they try to pray, but deep down they feel that they're still disqualified. And here's the tragic part, they think that that is normal. They think that's what humility feels like. I'm just unworthy. But what if I told you that's not humility at all? You have to know that feeling unworthy isn't being spiritual in any way. The truth is, it's actually a symptom of unbelief in what Jesus has already done for us. And the root of that heaviness isn't our flaws, but it's our failure then to see ourselves the way God sees you and sees me. So let's determine this morning, we're going to break that cycle if that's a biggie in your life. Because that'll hold you back. I can't answer for you, but I don't want to live the rest of my days walking this journey always feeling, Brother North, unworthy. I want every chain of that lie broken off of me. We don't have to go from day to day with that kind of mindset. It's not by trying harder. It's not by getting more religious. But it's by the renewing of our mind with the truth of who we really are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me just ask, have you ever found yourself apologizing to God over and over for the very same thing? Or avoiding prayer altogether because you felt too guilty to come near, or watching other Christians and thinking, I'll never be that spiritual, bless God. You don't have a clue what they're dealing with. Then you have to know that is unworthiness that's talking. And it's not from God. It is not from God. It's a mindset. It's a belief system built on the idea that your value in God's eyes is still based on your behavior. It's the voice that says, you're not clean enough. You're not strong enough. Well, you haven't done enough. And if you've heard that voice often enough, it starts to feel like your own. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not. It's the voice of deception that comes from the father of lies, Satan himself. And it's robbing so many people, it's robbing you and me and so many others of the intimacy and the joy and the boldness that's rightfully ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Remember this, unworthiness is the most dangerous enemy to our faith. Why? Because if you believe you're unworthy, you'll never come boldly to God believing for great things. You'll always be standing at the door wishing that you could enter into His presence. You'll hesitate in prayer. You'll shrink back when the trials come. And yes, you'll disqualify yourself from promises that are already yours and waiting for you to take. Unworthiness doesn't just steal your peace, it shuts down your faith. And here's what most people don't realize. It's possible to be forgiven and still feel condemned. And sadly, that's the state that many Christians find themselves living in. Listen, God has forgiven them, but they have not forgiven themselves. They've been made righteous in Christ, but they haven't believed that part yet. And as long as that belief is missing, guess what? Their emotional experience of God will feel distant and it'll feel heavy. So where does this unworthiness mindset come from? First of all, religion teaches it. Maybe not directly, but in a subtle way. Think about the phrases we have heard in church. And I mentioned this one last week. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Oh, Lord, help me. And here's another one. God, we're so unworthy today, but I thank you anyway. Hear me on this. These sound so humble, but they're not biblical. They are not biblical. Nowhere in the New Testament are believers called unworthy sinners. Before Christ, yes, absolutely. We were lost and we were broken and without hope. But after receiving Him, we became new creations. We're not still broken. Quit singing that song. We're not called sinners. We're called saints. We're not called unworthy. We're called chosen. We're called beloved. And we are accepted in the beloved. When we keep calling ourselves what God no longer calls us, guess what happens? We create a gap between us, who we really are, and how we see ourselves. And yes, it's that gap that becomes the breeding ground for what? Watch this. For shame. The second source then of unworthiness is personal failure. Hear me closely. Unworthiness, or the first one is subtle religious teaching. The second one, again, is personal failure. When you fall short, whether it's a sin or a habit you can't seem to break, or just not living up to your own expectations, guess what's going to happen? Shame comes in. That door is now open, and shame doesn't just say you made a mistake. Guess what it says? You are the mistake. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us to lift us up. I want the Holy Spirit to convict me when I get off track. Condemnation comes from the devil, and it pushes you down, never lifts you up. And the longer you stay in condemnation, guess what's going to happen? The harder it is to approach God with confidence. So what do most Christians do? They either avoid any intimacy with God completely, keeping Him at arm's length, keeping His Word on the front seat of their car until Sunday comes around again, or they try to earn their way back into His presence through performance. More prayer, more serving, more trying to make it up. But understand with me, no amount of effort can fix what only grace was meant to solve. He gave us the abundance of grace. And this brings us to the truth that sets people free. You don't have to feel unworthy anymore because you're not. You're not unworthy in God's eyes. If you've accepted Christ, your old self died with Him. You are buried with Him and raised in Him as a new creation. That's something to shout about. Colossians 1:22, He has reconciled you in His body through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's how God sees you. Not as someone barely tolerated, but as someone who is completely accepted. And that's not positive thinking. That's gospel truth. Amen. Righteousness then is the ability to stand in the presence of God without guilt or shame. And that's what Jesus died to give you and me. And when you accept it, not just as church doctrine, but as your identity, unworthiness, guess what's going to happen? It's going to lose its grip on you. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And guess what? That evil conscience is the constant awareness of your sin. But the good news is that Jesus dealt with sin. It's been judged, Brother Tony. It's been paid for. and it's been removed as far as the east is from the west. You and I are not guilty anymore. And if God calls us clean, who are we to call ourselves dirty? Well, so Pastor, how do I break that mindset of unworthiness? Again, renew your mind daily with the truth. Start each day reminding yourself, I am accepted in the Beloved. I am holy. I am blameless in His sight. I am righteous, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Hear me now. The more you say it, the more your mind will start to believe it. Second, stop speaking words that reinforce the shame. Don't call yourself worthless. Don't call yourself weak and dirty. And certainly don't call yourself crazy. No matter how you feel, your words matter. Your confession matters. Our words have power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You begin to say what God says about you, not what your past says. Third, get rid of spiritual performance. You might want to write this down. God does not want your efforts. He wants your trust. God does not want your efforts. He wants your trust. When you come to Him, don't try to impress Him. Come as you are, knowing He already sees you through Christ Jesus. He knows all about you. He sees you as a new creation. And then number four, when you do mess up, and we all will as long as we're in this old fleshly body, don't run from God. Run to Him. Confess the sin. Receive His cleansing. And guess what? Move forward. Go forward. Don't wallow around or sit in guilt for 3 days trying to punish yourself. Now, this is for somebody. Jesus already took that punishment. You don't have to pay for something that's already been paid for. Just confess it and go on. Get up. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I'm sorry. I receive your forgiveness. And lastly, here goes, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see yourself the way the Father sees you. Not through the lens of your past, but through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because when our identity, watch this, lines up with heaven's perspective, unworthiness doesn't stand a chance. The door's closed to that. Don't open it again. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are not disqualified. You're not broken beyond repair. You are a son and you are a daughter. And you have been made new, made clean, and made right. And the only thing then stopping you from walking in that truth is believing a lie. But this morning, now that you know the truth, guess what? The lie has no power. You're not unworthy. You're chosen. And guess what? It's time that we start living like that. In closing, Brother Brandon, You can put some music on. It's beginning to look a lot like... No, it's okay. Remember, our confession is more than just admitting or admitting sin. It's the key to unlocking our identity in Christ Jesus. Let's determine that we will break free from any shame that we've been carrying and let that be known to heaven and to hell. Amen. And you do that by saying, I'm worthy in Christ. I don't care what you're trying to put on me. I'm worthy. I'm worthy. I'm a saint of God. I'm not an old sinner. And I'm not broken. Today, let me end with this. Stay bold in Jesus. Stay rooted in His Word. And above all, walk with your head held high in the abundance of grace and His gift of righteousness. Praise